Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everybody's feeling pretty good about this, aren't they? That's the sense I get. Everybody's feeling pretty good. Good morning to you. Good Wednesday morning from Miami. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or hockey. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. Pirates versus Marlins tomorrow here at 4:10 p.m. First pitch will be thrown by Jesus Luzardo. In the box will be O'Neill Cruz. And from there, the 143rd season for the Pittsburgh Baseball Club will be underway. And if my gauge is set correctly, and it sometimes isn't, everyone's got a little bit of a positive beat to all of this. Didn't open up that way. The beginning of spring training, there was still just one or two starting pitchers. There was uncertainty about a lot of different positions. And now, well, there's just three or four starting pitchers and uncertainty at fewer positions. But beyond that, I get the distinct sense that there's at least, how do I put this without overstating it? It's not seen as implausible that the team could do well. How's that for a double negative to start your day? In other words, it doesn't have to be 20-8 like last year, but it could be something where the team is just over 500 at a certain stage of the coming month, where it's competitive with the rest of the Central Division, where you don't have to feel goofy looking at the standings. And I'm guessing you know all too well what it feels like to feel goofy looking at the standings. Been doing that for a long, long time. But that, I think, begs the question, and it's one that's probably important to address before anything even gets going here. And that's this. What would constitute a successful season? And again, don't get goofy on us and start talking about World Series. Maybe don't even talk about playoffs. What would constitute a real, live, tangible step forward? No Baseball America rankings, no MLB pipeline analyses, no Zips projections, just actual progress. The franchise takes another stride, moves closer to where it claims it wants to go. Well, I've got my answer. And it's going to sound really simple and blah in a way. I think they just need to get over 500. Not because that's the ultimate goal, not because I'm lowering the bar or anything to that effect. I think they need to get over 500 because if they get over 500, then a lot of other things will have gone right. Not least of which is that they almost certainly wouldn't be in a position to sell people off for parts at the trade deadline. If you finish over 500, chances are really good that you've stayed in it for the better part of the season, if not all the way into September. I say that largely because I don't think that much of the Central Division, so you're not going to have one team that just runs off with it, and your team being at or around 500 is going to put you 30 games back. If you're at or around 500, I don't think you're going to win the division, but you're going to be in the division. Also, and relevant, you're going to get contributions from players who matter, from younger players, from a Jared Jones, from Paul Skeens, from Jared Triolo, from Henry Davis, from Leiver Peguero when he comes up, which he will. How about Luis Ortiz when he makes it into the rotation, which he will? How about Carmen Wlodzinski graduating into more of a back-end role? Yes, even with Aroldis Chapman, Colin Holderman, and David Bednar back there. And if that sounds like I'm setting a stage to evaluate all of this based on yet another step in the rebuild, I'm just trying to be real here. I don't think this is the year. I don't think you can realistically have the year where you bust out, but Skeens opens up in Indianapolis. You see what I'm saying? I don't think you can have the year where Davis just enters his first full season, first season really to any degree, as a catcher at the top level. I don't think you can have the year when you're not going to get much production offensively out of center field. And I definitely don't think you can have the year when you figuratively go north with Bailey Falter in your rotation. So they can say whatever they want, but the actual goal is going to be something a lot closer with what I'm suggesting. And look, I don't know that that's the worst thing in the world. I would have loved to have seen them go and get another starting pitcher, even two. I would have loved to have seen them treat this as the year. When I say the year, just to throw this into parentheses here, I'm not talking about them, you know, winning a championship. I'm talking about the year where you make your big Baltimore-sized step, where you really assert yourself as a team that's going to have to be dealt with for years to come. This isn't that. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. So in light of that, making the best of it, I think, is just taking another few individual, but one big collective move upward. Now, how's that going to get received by the public, by other people who cover the team? I can't say that, but I can say in advance and comfortably that based on the approach that they took this offseason, which was nowhere near as ambitious as they'd described it, this is what to expect, I think, on the field and what would be reasonable. When we come back, J1Q. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800 degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Today's J1Q comes from Chris, who says, DK, any insight on why Bailey Falter would be picked for the rotation over Quinn Priester or Luis Ortiz. I don't see any upside there. Chris, you're not alone. I don't think anybody could look at Falter's numbers, whether it's from this past regular season or certainly not this past spring training, and say, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's your guy. He had a couple of blips last year. He faced teams that couldn't hit lefties. He ran up some zeros. But for the most part, he is exactly what he is. I don't really get it as to what it is that they're looking at. He does appear, if you want to get positive or try, to have a repeatable delivery. He's got a consistency to an extent from the left side in terms of locating his fastball, but there's just not much there. And the only thing I can think of, and if you pay really, really, really close attention to some of their remarks, this seems to add up, is that they've got some matchup that they see analytically, video-wise, whatever, one specific matchup, or maybe even a couple of teams where they feel that that particular opponent won't do well against him. That's all I've got. That is all I've got. Now, if that's true, A, you better be right. And B, hypothetically, good for them, because that would mean that they're putting what they have into trying to win the game that's being played in front of them. Now, they might completely blow it, but if that's what they're thinking, and I think it is, then I'm okay with that. If they look at certain matchups, whether it's pitches, arm angles, whatever it is, and you can do all of that stuff and so much more now, and they say, listen, the Marlins are never going to hit this guy. They're never going to touch what he throws, certainly not the first time through the order. So maybe they actually secretly have a bullpen game lined up where he only pitches once through the order, and then they turn everybody around. This is baseball in 2024. The stuff that I'm talking about would have been outlandish even a decade ago. It's not now. So there might be something to that. There's no way they're looking at Falter and saying, yeah, this is our guy. But at the same time, there's no way for them to publicly pronounce any of what I'm suggesting here, if it's the case. You see what I'm saying? What are they going to say? Well, listen, people, we know he stinks. But there's one team that just can't hit people throwing from that angle, and we're just going to throw him at them, and then we're going to send him down. Can't do that. You can't do that. You'd be crushing him before he ever even took the ball. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Pirates, and we will do another one of these tomorrow on opening day.